Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And as much as I enjoyed this weekend, you know, us analysts, we all like being right. So you just get excited about that. It was a bit bittersweet. Bittersweet because I won two football games in terms of picks. But I think I lost my partner. I show up today here at Fox Sports Radio. And I go to my mailbox and I see this piece of loose leaf paper, and I, you know, pull it out of my box and I see some handwritten stuff on it, and it's actually a little tear stained, I believe. It was really in bad shape. It looked like the handwriting suggested the person was really struggling to write it, but I was able to decipher it. And I put it into my phone because I had to read it to all you guys today. But here's what the genesis of this is.
What if they do win?
I think I'm moving to Mexico. Do they have a job down there?
Well, if you like soccer, you could be a sports radio host.
I'll be a sports guy down there. Me and Chris Broussard will move our radio show to Mexico.
You know, I heard that when Rob said it, and I, of course, thought he was joking. He's playing around, all right? But let me tell you what the letter said. Dear Chris, the Odd Couple crew, and our loyal listeners, I have once again put my foot in my mouth, and it doesn't taste good at all.
Oh, Rob!
It's dry, it's ashy, and it reeks of Bengay. I am 55 after all. But it's not my fault. But it's my fault. You would have thought I would have known better than to bet against TB12 after being wrong about him so many times over the past 8 years.
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
But I was foolish once again. And in fact, this time I went too far. I pledged to move to Mexico if Brady won again. So in humility and heartbrokenness, I bid you adieu. The Odd Couple is now a solo show. I will return at some point in the distant future, assuming Trump doesn't build that wall. Until then, I'll admit it. Tom Brady is the GOAT. As much as I want to shout and claim victory, and I told
what?
What are you doing here?
What are you talking about?
I got this letter in my mailbox.
Who wrote that letter? Because I didn't write it. I did not write
it. It had your signature on it.
You're talking about it had tears on it. You are absolutely crazy if you think I had anything to do with that letter, and if you think that one football game is going to change me or change what's going on here. Are you kidding me, Chris Broussard? You know me better than that after all these years.
Well, I am glad to see you. I am glad to see you.
That's about it. But let me tell you,
I was going solo.
You ain't going solo. Rob Parker ain't going nowhere. Bueno.
You actually coming in here braggadocious?
Yes.
You're welcome, but are you coming in like with your chest out?
That letter is total BS. I have not changed my mind about Tom Brady. Yes, he won. Yes, he played well in overtime. And yes, the Pats are going back to the Super Bowl. But no, he is not N-O-T, the GOAT in my mind. Nothing has changed with that victory over the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. This isn't irrational. This isn't rational, I mean. This isn't math. There is no right answer when we talk about who's the GOAT. Sorry. It's not based, it's based on what I see, what I believe, and what I feel. That's the beauty of sports. We can watch the same game and see something totally different. One man's chicken is another man's gumbo. You hear me, Chris Broussard? If my opinion is invalidated because you don't agree with how I see this, that means your opinion doesn't matter either. This is what sports has always been built on. In the 50s, in New York City, the debate was Willie, Mickey, or the Duke. Who was the greatest center fielder in New York? And depending on who you were talking to, people would pick Willie Mays with the Giants, Mickey Mantle with the Yankees, and Duke Snyder with the Dodgers. And Mickey Mantle won all the time. He won 8 World Series, and you know what? People still pick Willie Mays as the greatest center fielder, even though he only won once. So don't sit here and tell me. The same people now who are coming here looking for validation, looking for me to stamp their ticket and tell them that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, you must be crazy. You're the same people who tell me all the time that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan, even though Michael Jordan never lost. You tell me that winning championships doesn't mean you're the greatest. But when it comes to Tom Brady, going to the Super Bowl means you just got validated. And we all know this, Chris, that had Tom Brady and the Patriots lost yesterday, there's no way in NFL America would that have changed the minds of Brady fans and told people that Brady was not the GOAT because he lost yesterday. So don't come in here telling me that yesterday beating the hapless Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm talking about their defense, hapless. You watched the game, that all of a sudden that validated you, that changed your mind about Tom Brady. You are now convinced more than ever that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. Stop it!
So you didn't write that letter? Who wrote that?
You know I didn't write that letter. No way, no how did I write that letter.
I've been calling for it for years, but finally, this is the year where I'm going to be right.
Wrong. We save that for next year, because Rob will say the same thing next year, and you can use
that.
What
are you saying? I repeat myself?
You have since 2011. Here's what I got out of your spiel. It was impressive, by the way. You have moved a little bit, because you normally say definitively that Tom Brady is not the GOAT.
I said it had to.
Now you're saying, hey, you're basically, if you think he's the GOAT, fine. But it's subjective. I don't think he's the GOAT. You see what I'm saying?
But I've always
said
that.
You normally come out and say, it's Joe Montana. 11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Picks. You know it.
4 Super Bowls, no losses. You've moved a little.
You have moved
a little, which sparks me to ask you, what if Tom Brady wins in 2 weeks? 6 Super Bowls.
What if Tom Brady loses and goes to 5-4?
Magic Johnson's 5-4.
And nobody says he's the greatest. All I'm saying, 5-4 does not sound as good as 4-0. I don't care what you say. You can talk about 9 trips. That would basically make him a 500 quarterback in the Super Bowl.
No, it wouldn't make him
a
500.
According to my math.
Funny math. Math is not subjective, all right?
Yes, I told you that
math
earlier.
Math is not subjective. And the other thing is this. I didn't really expect you to say, okay, Brady's the GOAT. What I'm wondering, though, have you changed your mind on him being too old? You start saying in week 2 or 3, he is done. I mean, I don't remember. You didn't think they could win it. I don't remember if you said you didn't give them a shot to get to the Super Bowl.
No, I said that.
I think you said they could get to the AFC Championship, man.
But I didn't say that they could win. And here's the other thing.
So have you changed being too old?
No,
he was a stud yesterday. I know he had some bad plays, too.
Okay, he was also an offsides away.
How many times? We can go back through everybody's career and pick out things like that.
But you got to admit, that would have been a third pick. And let me just be honest. If he has that third pick, they lose there. There's no way. Do you come in today telling me he's the GOAT?
Yeah.
You still believe
he's the GOAT? Yes, he's the GOAT.
And that's my point, is that nothing was determined yesterday. Because he could
have
had a bad game, and you still would come in and say he's the GOAT regardless.
But that's why
That's why nothing was validated yesterday.
I think what was validated that he still has it.
No,
that's what was validated.
But I saw the bad Brady that we've seen this year when he's thrown bad passes and he threw a bad pick to start the game.
The last three possessions, 11 for 20, 147 yards.
There was no,
he marched them down the field. What are you talking about?
How many touchdowns did he throw yesterday?
Don't give me the touchdown. A running back running it in from the 5-yard line.
I'm just asking
He marched them down the field.
I'm asking
He threw
you.
One.
Okay.
But he marched them down the field
and also,
each of those possessions.
How many times was he sacked?
None.
Right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
But hold on. Are you going to blame me for that?
No, I'm saying.
Where was his Jerry Rice?
I'm saying any quarter.
His Dwight Clark?
His Jerry Rice was right there. Rob Gronkowski had 1,000
Who's
catches.
Who's been terrible this year.
Edelman
Who's
just
been
went
terrible
over.
This
no,
year.
Both of those guys. Stop it.
Gronkowski has been terrible this year.
Does he have over 1,000 catches now?
That's past history.
No, it ain't.
He showed up yesterday. I give it to him.
Here's
but Brady made him show up.
My only point is you can't have it both ways. You can't act like he never had anybody or he don't have the – this is the LeBron – narrative that drives me crazy. Don't tell me he doesn't have anybody. And as a quarterback, I don't care if you're in the NFL and you get no pressure and get time to throw, you could pick anybody apart. The whole game is whether or not you could get to the quarterback and disrupt him. So Tom Brady, as good as he is, he's going to pick you apart if you don't pressure him. That's all I'm saying. He did what anybody would do,
given no pressure. Three straight drives,
no
all
pressure.
The pressure was to win.
No.
The pressure was to win. But like I said, I didn't expect you to say he's GOAT. But I did. I was just wondering.
If you're saying
he's done. He's too old. He can't throw the ball
anymore. If you're
coming
to the Odd Couple looking for validation today, you got the wrong station, so you need to change it.
No, you don't need to change it. Keep listening.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The NFC game was outstanding as well. Two great games.
Some bad coaching.
The L.A. Rams won 26-23.
Some good coaching.
And what a lot of people, Rob, are talking about is the blown call. And I don't mean just fans. New Orleans coach Sean Payton is going crazy about a missed pass interference call late in the game.
That call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call. For a call like that not to be made, man, it's just hard to swallow. It was simple. They blew the call. It should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. We spoke initially, then I called to follow up, and first thing Al said when I got on the phone, we messed it up.
Here's the thing. I don't know if there's anybody alive that is saying that it wasn't pass interference. I mean, it was clearly pass interference, okay? No question about it.
And the other thing, too, Chris, when you watch the replay, and if you haven't seen it, just watch it a few times. Very seldom, a lot of times you get two referees, and they're like one calls one thing and the other one.
Right.
And then they kind of got to sort it out. Watch it. Both of them at the same exact time, almost. Both go like this, like no play and no – both of them.
Yeah, I don't know what in the world they were thinking.
Both. It is.
I mean, if they were trying to say it wasn't catchable, it would have been catchable if he wouldn't have got hammered by – and it was helmet to helmet. But here's the thing. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from Sean Payton. I don't want to hear it from Saints fans. And here's why. Because on the series before, when the Rams tied the game up 20-20 with 6 minutes, 49 seconds left, second and goal at New Orleans 5, the Rams had the ball. Jared Goff scrambles and gets face mask clear.
And the ref didn't
clear
see it.
Clear face mask, and they didn't call it. And the Rams had to settle for a field goal. It would have been first and goal from the 1 or 2 yard line. You can't tell me they would not have had as good of a chance of scoring a touchdown there instead of a field goal as New Orleans would have had at the end. And here's the thing about New Orleans, though. New Orleans, it would have changed everything. Like, if the Rams scored a touchdown there, instead of it being 20-20, they would have been up 24-20. Then who knows what New Orleans would have done at that point. It would have changed their whole game plan. Because now you have to score a touchdown instead of just getting a field goal to win it. So my point is that, unfortunately, bad calls are made all the time. And I would actually look at this situation and say, you know what? Those two bad calls evened it out. The second one was egregious. The first one was very bad. But both of them evened out. Goff should have got the face mask call, and the Saints should have gotten the PI call. So I think it evened it out. So I don't want to hear the complaints.
What about Sean Payton and his coaching after the 2-minute warning when they throw on first down? A lot of people say that Payton's decision is as bad as the Seahawks passing at the goal line at the Super Bowl. Like, because
I wouldn't call it that bad.
No, but from the standpoint of time, if you have a chance to run there,
right,
and you run down the clock, you don't leave them enough time
you
to even
kick a field goal.
Do you see what I'm saying? You run it down instead of passing. I get it. You're trying to score a touchdown, but you're better off running. When you pass, you stop the clock. Right?
Here's the thing I'll say. I agree with that logic. That's Sean Payton.
No, I know, but you got to be. Sometimes the only problem, I hear that. People say that.
And Sean Payton has made so many calls throughout his career that if they don't work, we're killing him for it. Onside kick.
No, and to start the second half of the Super Bowl. Right.
We would be killing him
for
that.
No, I get it.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I get
that. And
this
is one where if it works, well, he's aggressive.
But the only thing, is when you're talking about end of game and leaving as little time. We saw in both of these games,
I get it.
Patriots left a little time on the clock, and what happened? The Chiefs, who were struggling, right, march right down and kick a field goal. Oh, I had a chance to win that game.
Right.
They were at like the
30. They had 39 seconds.
And they were at the – right. And they went all the way
talking
down.
About yesterday
right.
when the Chiefs – yeah, they down 3, and Mahomes marches them down.
Marches them right down, yep. And they're within –
30
almost,
seconds.
In 39 seconds, right. It was unbelievable. And that's what I'm saying is that – you want to leave them as little time possible.
I agree.
And they're just saying that, yes, you try to score the touchdown, right? But if you run it, that's like 40 seconds the clock.
Right.
It's a lot of time when you run and they can't stop the clock.
No, and that's legit. And I think what people are trying to say is that, look, yes, the referees made a mistake, Sean Payton, but so did you. Right? That's what they're saying.
No, right, right.
Don't even put – you didn't have to put yourself in that position.
Had you run the ball down there, and this is right after the 2-minute warning. So the clock is, that's it, right?
Yep.
The clock is going to run. And you run the ball, and then once you can't, if you can't get in, you kick the field goal.
So you're saying as I am, you don't want to hear the complaint.
No, I mean, I get why fans are going to complain about it, because that's what fans do. They're invested.
Right.
Chris, there are a lot of people hurting. I heard from a lot of friends from New Orleans.
I'm from down there.
You know that.
Weren't
they sick?
Yeah, oh yeah. She had her Saints jersey on and everything.
Our guy, Martin Weiss from FS1.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Martin.
Martin was not. You know he's sick.
He's in his little cave.
Oh,
right,
you know
now, in the dark.
Because I didn't hear from him, and then all of a sudden he hit me up, and he was like, I'll pay you your wings, but I don't want to talk about it. I'll pay you your wings.
Look, it was a horrible call, but I think both you and I are right. You could point to Sean Payton's bad play call, and you can certainly point to the non-face mask call on Jared Goff. So I think the two calls even themselves out. It's as simple as
that. Both were bad and both got missed. 877-99 on Fox.
877-996-6369. What do you think? Do you you think Sean Payton, it's fine. Let him keep complaining, and he's right. That
it was
the referees
a terrible call.
Took the game from him. Is that what you think? Again, terrible call. But the referees did not take the game. The Rams could be saying the same thing if they had lost.
But here's the thing. People always remember it because it was at the end.
Yes.
Even though a play earlier is a big play, I'll tell you another one if I remember, Chris, if you think about it. Patrick Mahomes made a bad mistake in the first half by taking a sack rather than get rid of the ball.
He scrambled off.
He scrambled the wrong way, right? And then what happened? Took them out of field goal range. Had they had that field goal, and instead what happened was instead of it being 7-3, they got no points.
Right.
Patriots went down and scored, made it 14-0.
That's
a huge turnaround in the game.
Because everything changes.
Right.
And that's what I'm
saying. But because it didn't happen at the end, people think that's right. You don't think about it, but that was a turning point in the game.
No doubt. No doubt. And again, if the Rams had scored a touchdown – where they're up 24-20 versus the field goal, that changes the Saints' entire approach on that possession. So I just think at the end of the day, it evened itself out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Dude, you know what? You can say whatever you want, and I'm not just hating. This is an Andy Reid indictment. He can't win the big game. I know he's never won a Super Bowl. But, Chris, here we are now. Andy Reid is arguably one of the best coaches in the league, right? Everybody said it for a long time.
He is one of the best coaches in the league.
His record is now 12-14 in the postseason. He's been to the championship game four times, three NFC championships, and now one AFC championship. 1-3. And now in Kansas City, since he's gone there, they're 2-5. And have lost three of their last four home games. In the NFL, this was what's so weird, is that both road teams won, which just doesn't happen. I think 2012 was the last time that happened. Doesn't happen that often because it's really hard to win. But Andy Reid is the Wacote, the worst coach of all time.
Oh, stop it.
He's the Wacote.
Stop it, Rob.
He really is when it comes to big games.
He's worse than Hugh Jackson.
I'm talking about of a coach who has something going, like Marv Levy.
He's worse than Matt Patricia.
Marv Levy is even better than Andy Reid. And Marv Levy lost all four Super Bowls.
Levy's a Hall of Famer. Bud Grant lost four Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer. Andy Reid's going to be a Hall of Famer.
So where do you put the coaches in who actually won a Super Bowl? Is there another thing higher than
– there's a different floor.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
No.
How can you lose four straight Super Bowls and be in the Hall of Fame?
Getting there, that's what you want to
shoot. It's not about getting there. It's not about getting there.
Getting there is an achievement, Rob. And in fact, getting there means you did win a championship. You won your conference
championship. So you know what, Chris? The next four Sundays, I'm going to go to your church and stand out in front, up the front door. I'm not coming in, but I went to church because I'm going to stand right out front. Did I gain anything?
Yeah, if you heard, you can hear the message.
I know. I'm supposed to go in, just like if I was going to the Playboy Mansion. Aren't you supposed to try to get in?
I don't know about the Playboy
Mansion.
Well,
that's why I brought the church up for you, because I figured my Playboy Mansion thing ain't going to work, because Chris ain't even trying to go to Magic City in Atlanta.
No, I'm not. You and Rob G. Rob G,
Rob
man,
G,
don't let
he
him
ain't
corrupt
even
you.
Going.
Don't let him corrupt you.
You know what? Now
me and Rob G going to be in revival, baby.
It's not. It's going to be now me and the boss. We'll go to – I'm going to take Scott. Scott Shapiro, we're going to Magic City in Atlanta.
But here's the thing. Look, I get where you're coming from.
Show prep meeting just to eat something.
I get where you're coming from with Andy Reid. And Andy Reid is not Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, we talked about it a few minutes ago. The Chiefs had the best – they were number one in the league in sacks, tied for first, 52. They don't get close to Brady.
And here's the other piece.
That's coaching.
No, here's the other.
And then the Patriots, who had an anemic pass rush all year, were all over Pat Mahomes.
And here's the other part,
that's
right?
Coaching.
People say, "Oh, well, that's defensive. Don't blame Andy Reid." How you have the highest, one of the highest scoring offenses. You get shut out in the first half in your own building.
He did make adjustments at halftime. Saying,
but they weren't ready.
I get it, but you have to give him credit for making adjustments at halftime.
You can't be shut out in your own building in the first half.
They got 31 in the second half. That's all I'm saying. He's, you know, he's got to win the big one, but he is one of the best coaches in the league and going to be a Hall of Famer.